Hello, and thank you for joining us on our Inspire Church podcast. It's our prayer that this message inspire you, that it builds your faith, and that it can help you see how God desires to move in your life. Enjoy the message.
I just believe that today is a good day for us to hear a word that can change our life. And even as you're watching online, I want to speak about five things. I want to talk about five characteristics that every man has. Five characteristics. You don't have to try to be this person. You are this person. And you just need to identify it and bring out the skills and the abilities that God has already placed within your life. Number one characteristic, every man, every father is a protector. A protector. I remember when my kids were a bit younger, teenagers and whatever, I'd kind of say to them, "Where have you been?" My kids are always taller than me. "Where have you been? Why are you late?" And I kind of used to wonder, why do I do that? Because naturally, as a father and as a man, I'm a protector. What have you been up to? And to be granted, sometimes I probably said that in the wrong attitude. "Where have you been? Why are you late?" I remember one night my son didn't come home at all. "Where have you been?" I had to sleep at the railway station. The train stopped running. "That won't happen again, will it?" "No, Dad." Where you been? Where you been up to? You see, we are inclined as men to protect. Not to intimidate, not to be controllers, but to protect. So what do we protect against? And I was just reflecting with my dad what he used to try to protect me from. He used to try to protect me from being ripped off when I was a bit older. I'd go to buy something, go to buy a car or something, and he said, "John, everyone's cool, but just don't get ripped off. Before you kind of make a final decision, just talk to someone. Come and talk to me. I don't want you to get ripped off." Then I'd get into a, you know, want to go and do something else, and he'd say, "Just make sure you don't get in over your head. Make sure that what you're committing yourself to do, that you can do it." What was he doing? He was trying to protect. Not every time did I appreciate it, and I think sometimes there's a little bit of a controller, but we learn to deal with that as we move on. But his desire was to protect. Who are you hanging around with? And he says, "I know what you're like by the people you hang around with. Who are your friends?" And what's he trying to do? He is trying to protect. How do they treat their mother? How do they treat their father? And he'd listen to conversations and how they reference their parents and their friends. And sometimes he'd say, "I'm not too sure if that's a good relationship for you to be in." Why? He was trying to protect. Fathers, we naturally protect. Trying to protect us from fraud. Probably if it was me talking to my kids today, I'd say, "Hey, watch, don't sign up to that phone plan. I think there may be better ones around. Hey, what are we trying to do? We're trying to protect. What's your credit card?" And I remember my daughter, she's here today, and she was about 17 or 18, could have been older, and she wanted to get a credit card, so, yeah, okay, apply for it. And I think in the end, she got credit for $40,000. And I just said, "No, that's not happening. Not happening, not happening. Because if you've got credit for $40,000, you're probably going to spend $40,000. And have a guess who's going to have to pay it off?" "Yeah, exactly." Okay, so trying to protect. Trying to protect from deception. People that want to put something over you to get the best out of you at your expense, and trying to protect from deception. You see, fathers, we are protectors. Protect against abuse. And as I've gone on in life, and I used to see this in my father, and I probably see it a little bit in myself, is that sometimes protection or the protectors are silent. And if I was to go around here today and say, hey, who's got a dad that doesn't talk, he's silent? Or who's got a husband that's silent? And, you know, if it's silence all the time, we need some help in that. But sometimes when we're going through something, we haven't got the answers, so we just go quiet. So John chapter 10 and verse 7 says like this. It talks about Jesus, and it reads like this. He says, I am the door of the sheep. When was the last time you heard a door speak? Sometimes they don't speak, they just swing in the right direction. And sometimes the door is closed, there's protection. And Jesus says, I am the door. I permit what comes in, what goes out. And even myself as a pastor of this flock, even though I'm not the chief shepherd, I am still the door of this flock. What we allow to come in, what we allow to go out, it's not about control, but if there's danger that wants to come in, the door is closed. If there's goodness that needs to spread around, the door is open. The door. And Jesus says, I am the door. And then in verse 8, he says, all who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I just want to encourage you, fathers, make sure your children know your voice. Not the voice of abuse, but the voice of, hey, hey. And when they hear that tone in your voice, they know, hey, stop. It's the same with God. I just want to get to know His voice or His impression, that when He says, hey, He's immediately got my attention, because if I take another step, I could be stepping into an oncoming train or something like that. So when I hear, I stop. And Jesus says He can't. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Get to know. Make sure your kids get to know your voice. When the voice is having fun, when the voice is just laughter and jovial, or when the voice is, hey, let's hold it for a minute. Let's think about this. Because there's things that come against families that we as dad, we may not always not know how to put in words, but we know how to keep the door closed. Are you hearing me? To protect. And it goes on to say here in verse 9, Jesus says, I am the door. And I was thinking, how would I apply that within my family? Sometimes there's winds of adversity where someone may be trying to attack the family emotionally, verbally. We stand in the door. Or it could be there's some show on TV and, hey, I don't think that's good. Okay, Dad says, okay, we close the door. We don't allow that to amuse us in this family. We close the door. Or there's a conversation that's going on. Hey, we close the door. We don't have those conversations. We don't gossip. We don't speak ill of people. We don't pull down. This place is a place of blessing. Also, the door, it blocks the wind of adversity. It talks about that Jesus is the head of the church and the man is the head of the home. He is the covering. He is the protector. And I want to declare this to every man today. Who's men here again? Okay, I want to speak to not something you aren't. I am speaking to who you are. I believe that you are a protector and you will grow in that role, not as a controller or an intimidator, but one who has genuine concern and protection for the house. You want it blessed. And listen to this, fathers, don't be a whinger. Don't be a gossiper. Don't be someone who just falls over with every wind that blows. Learn to find your strength in God. Because if you're the door and you carry on whinging and winding and everything's negative and everything's impossible, you create instability within your family and it affects them badly. Know how to stand in the door. Know how to be the door. Know how to be the protector. You know, sometimes things do affect us, and we do need to talk to someone. But don't let it be a sabotage that goes right through your families and weakens the integrity of what God is trying to do. Sometimes I don't know what to say, but I do know how to shut up. Carol, say what's going on. I'm not too sure. Just let me think it through. Just keep. We're keeping stability. We're keeping protection within the house. We prepare our kids how to handle adversity. We're a protector. And I know in our environment these days, there's a lot of bullying going on, and you just kind of think, man, how do we protect our kids from bullying, cyberbullying, things happening on social media and those kind of stuff? I haven't got all the answers, but I know the answers are out there. But I do know this, we've got to continuously, as fathers, you know, protect our children, but also realize they're in a real world, and we've got to teach them how to get through this world and to be strong and not to be tainted by the things that we're trying to take us out. Dads, we may not know it all, but there are great dads of wisdom in the herd. We're a family. We're here together. I haven't got all the answers. And I remember I was bringing up my children, did my best, thought about the way my father brought them up, and I'd find wise dads around me and that could help me and support me through this thing called being a protector in the family. Number two, that I believe is a characteristic of each one of us as men today, is provider. We know in the Bible it's called Jehovah Jireh. What is he? He's our provider. You see, men, we provide more than money. We provide wisdom. Oh, yeah. You might say, you're not very wise. Hey, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Wisdom comes out of our decisions. And if you're unsure of making good decisions, man, get some good patterns and examples around your life. Wisdom, we create wisdom, stability, perspective, insight, friendship, counsel. We are providers. Dads do add to our life. It's not about who makes the most money. He's still the provider. I think when I was a child, I think my mother probably made the most money, but Dad was still a provider. He provided stability. He provided perspective. He provided insight. He provided friendship. He provided counsel. And I just want to say this to any young person today, if you're looking around for a spouse, and if your girlfriend or boyfriend is stingy, you got to say this word, next. If they're stingy now, they're going to be stingy later. More so. Because all their toy money is going to be taken away. Giver, not a taker. Man, you're a provider. Work, food, stability. You might say, should men work? Yeah, if you've got the ability to work, you should work. I can't find a job. Hey, get on mobile lawns. Hey, come and mow mine. Do something. You're a provider. You're a provider of example. You're a provider of blessing. You're a provider of this is how the next generation is going to turn out. What are we? Come on. We are protectors. We are providers. Number three, and you got a couple left. We are promoters. Promoters. Luke 3:21. Here's Jesus being baptized, and he goes to the Jordan River, and here's John the Baptist baptizing people, and Jesus said to John the Baptist, you know, can I be baptized? And he said, oh, who am I to baptize you? John permitted it to be so. Jesus was baptized. When he came up out of the water, these are the words that God said about his son. This is my son in whom I am well pleased. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Look at me, dads. When was the last time you said to your son, your daughter, I'm well pleased? You may not be well pleased about everything, but pick on something that you are well pleased. It's amazing. My mum was amazing. She was an amazing lady. I could never do anything wrong in the eyes of mum. John is perfect. Isn't your mum like that? I used to sing a little bit. Oh, John, you're an amazing singer. You know, when I started to preach, I was terrible. But mum said, man, you're amazing. I wish I could just wake her up now and say, what did you really mean by that? You know, amazingly good, amazingly bad, you know. And all those things are good, and mums naturally encourage us. But it's dads who validate us. If dad said I could sing, I'll take note of that. I remember the first time my father heard me preach. He said, John, he said, I think you got something there. Keep working on it. Mum said it. But dad validated. Dad, don't underestimate the power of you speaking into your children's life. You are a promoter. Promote your sons and daughters. Speak well into their life. Don't let them have to earn it. If you get A, get, if you get B, net, get it. That is the most cruelest thing. If I ever waited for validation from my father on how I went at school, it wouldn't have happened. It would never have happened. Don't let it just be on performance. Man, let it be on the character. Let it be on the giftings within their life in Jesus' name. Come on, dads. You might say, oh, John, you're a dad, but you never got validated by your father. Please don't pass it on. Are you hearing me? Please don't pass it on to your sons and daughters. Go to God. Get validated by God. And then from that validation that God loves you and God's got a plan for your life, begin to impart it into your sons and daughters. It brings great security and confidence within their life. And you might say, oh, John, I'm a parent and a father and I've got these challenges and, you know, and I've got these tendencies. I just want to encourage you today. I want to speak right into your life. Deal with them, please, in Jesus' name. Because if you don't deal with them, you're passing on to the next generation. And they'll have to deal with your stuff as well as their stuff. That is completely unfair. You deal with your stuff. You have the grace of God to deal with it. Amen? If you're 30 or 40, the enemy is after you in a different way. You know what he's after? He's after to trip you up so he can stuff up your family. Excuse me. He's after you to trip you up so you can do damage in your family. Don't fall into the trap in Jesus' name. Number four, just about finished. What have we got? Provider, protector, promoter, and another P, priest. You're a priest. Wow, you're a priest. Can I have a back to front collar? Now, I'm not kind of talking about kind of that public priest. I'm talking about you are a priest within your family. You are, the Latin word for priest is bridge builder. Another word for priest is presence bearer. And men, husbands, you are the priest in your household. You are the presence bearers. And I'm not imposing something upon you. This is who you are. This is what you are. Don't do it in pride, but do it in humility. And what I love about the priest, Abraham, he built an altar before he even built his house. He was on the move, but he was going from place to place. And what did he do? He built an altar. Sometimes we can be so committed. We got to build a house. We've got to have the best this, the best that. I can tell you what you need to have the best of. You need to have the best God established within your life. That you build an altar. And here we build our life around the person of Jesus Christ. We build our life around the culture of Jesus Christ. We build our life around the structures of Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And I'm not saying all that other things is not important. Yes, they're important, but the most important, you be the priest and establish Christ as the center of your house. Noah, after everything was wiped out, the first thing he did when he got out of the ark, oh, let's build a house. Let's build an altar. lovely house. We want in a big area, we want in a good place. And I'm aware of all that. But build your family on Jesus. Can we do that? Can we do that? You know, they say that praying is a women's thing. You know, women will pray more feeling orientated. The baby's sick, Lord Jesus, we've got to pray for a sick. Oh, this thing's not real. And more feeling orientated. Man's prayers are kind of more petition. I need $200. I need a job. It's more petition focused. And I just want to encourage you, whatever way you pray, keep praying. You're the priest in the household. We will keep God at the center. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. Why does he encourage us to pray without ceasing? You tell me. I'm talking to fathers, talking to men. Why you are to pray without ceasing is this. Because stuff comes without ceasing. You get through something, something else. You get through something, something else. You get through something else, oh, another bill. Get through that, oh, kid needs help. Oh, get through that, oh, I've got this ache. Get through that. And if we don't pray without ceasing, what does prayer do? What we're doing, we're transferring. The stuff that comes to us, we're putting it on God because he cares for us. Cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. You keep on casting, you keep on casting. If stuff keeps coming to you and you're not continuously praying, what you're going to find under the weight of that, you'll resolve to things that you used to find comfort in. Oh, I'll go out and have a fag again. I'll go and smoke. I'll go and have an affair. I'll go and give up. I'll go whatever. But if you learn to pray, you will find that he'll lift the burden and he'll give you grace. Are you hearing me today? Someone needs to hear that today. You see, men, your problem's not sin. Your problem's prayer. Sometimes we're out there dealing with our sin, but God's trying to say to you, if you'll come to me, I will help you deal with your sin, and I'll be your strength, and I'll be your sufficiency in Jesus' name. As a priest, I'm just about finished, but as a priest, I do pray for my children. I pray every day. I pray for my kids. I learned from Job, in the book of Job, every day Job used to pray for his kids. And I said, well, Job prayed for his kids, so I'm going to pray for mine. But that's what I do, I just pray. Does that make me any holier? No, that's what we do. That's what you do. Come on, stop stressing and start praying. Put the cigarettes away and start to pray. Turn the TV off and start to pray. Do I watch TV? Yep, I watch too much of it, just as much as you. But you got to learn when to turn it off and begin to pray. You can never satisfy godly hunger by something on this earth. Pray without ceasing. My final point is this, before we come to our baby dedications, you'll love this one. You're the prophet. Now, don't walk away from this day and say, well, John, you declared me as a prophet to the nation. No, I declare you a prophet to your family. I declare that upon your life, you have the ability to call forth the God future for your family in Jesus' name. What do you see? What do you want? What are you going to settle for? I declare it upon my family. I used to declare it upon my kids. You will serve God. They probably never heard me saying that, but I declared it. I call it forth in Jesus' name. You will serve God. I'm not saying that you will serve God as pastors, but God will be number one within your life. You will serve God. We don't settle for anything different. You may say that's arrogant. No, that's a call of desperation within my heart that I want the will of God done within my family. And you might say, oh, your family's away from God. Keep calling it forth. Keep prophesying. Keep prophesying what you see and what you believe for in Jesus' name. The world will call your children lots of things. They'll call them lots of things. They'll call your young girls lots of things, your young boys lots of things. And not all of it's good. They will call you out about your sexuality and your body shape and your intelligence and your skills. But men, we call out our princesses. They'll be pure. Their bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit. They will be all that God wants them to be. We call our young men princes. They'll grow into be kings. They'll grow into be warriors. That's what they'll be in Jesus' name. I don't care what the world says about them. I declare upon their life that they will be good, strong men and women in life, in community, in Jesus' name. What are you calling out? You loser. Just like your father. Look at you. Good on you. Speak it. It'll get into their subconscious and it'll become a dominant thought. But I'm telling you today, it doesn't matter how old you, your kids are, you speak life into them. You speak life. Jabez, 2 Chronicles, it talks about the Jabez. It says about his mother bore him in pain, and everything he did, he inflicted pain. But Jabez, he grew through that and became a young man. And it says that he called out to God, that God may change him, and God answered his request and changed his pain into blessing. If you're here today and your life's a pain, you can be honorable, you can call out to God, and you can see change happen. There's another instance in the Bible by the name of Isaac. Pardon me, it was Rachel, Jacob's wife. She was having her son, and the birth pains were so severe and must have been a troubled pregnancy. And as she gave birth to her child, she took her last breath, and in her last breath she said, "The child's name will be called Ben-Oni, which means son of my sorrow and pain." But Jacob said, no, I'm the priest of this family, and I call my son Benjamin, the son of my right hand, the son of favor. And from Benjamin came forth kings, warriors, leaders. Don't put your name, don't put your pain on your kids. Put the blessing that came out of pain upon your kids. Are you hearing me today? Don't put your pain. He has turned my mourning into dancing. And whatever is does not have to be in the future, because we call forth a better future. He's turned my mourning into dancing. He's turned my darkness into light. He's turned my weakness into strength. I call that forth upon my family. And I, as the pastor of this church, I call it forth upon your life today, that your life will not be wreaked with pain or anger or disappointed. I call forth the blessing of the Son of God upon you, and that will get so strong in your spirit that you will call yourself blessed, that you will call yourself chosen, that you will call your wife a special woman, that you will call your children their sons and daughters of the Most Holy God. I call that and I speak it into your life today. You are blessed not because of who you are. You are blessed because of who He is. He's merciful and He is gracious.
Thanks again for joining us. If you have any questions or simply for more information regarding Inspire Church, visit us at inspirechurch.com. You can also like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram. It's our prayer that you live inspired by the Word of God and more alive in Him than ever before. Until next time.